Good morning, Trinity Youth. It's Monday, March 25th. This is Haley.
And this is Dave. And welcome back, everybody, to the Trinity Youth Lent Podcast, where we are following Jesus on his journey through the wilderness to the cross. And Haley, we are in Holy Week, and I'm excited about that. It means that Lent is almost done, and I would say that Lent has done its work on me, and I am ready for Easter. I don't know about you, but how are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. I think it's funny for us when Lent correlates with an uptick of work. Like, we've just been doing a lot, like had a lot of events, which if you've been there, shout out, they've been so fun. But it's been funny. I don't think I've cut out social media and personal spending, but it's funny. I don't think I've felt a reach for them in the way I used to in the past. It's cool. I've done that every year for like maybe 10 years. It's funny. People know like clockwork. Oh, Haley, you're not on social media. It's Lent. Even like my non-Christian friends know like, it's Lent. Haley's not on here, which is kind of cool. But I haven't felt such of a pull towards it this year. It's just been nice. But yes, maybe it means I need to change up what I give up. But that's where I'm at, no, Dave.
Sounds like it's a blessing.
You sound ready for Easter.
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, it is great when you engage in Lent. Easter really does feel like a lift, like a change in the seasons you can look forward to. I know for me, a lot is there's food-based things. There's not.
Did you do food?
Yes.
Yeah, did coffee a little bit maybe?
Or? Yeah, like lots of little practices throughout my day. So yeah, coffee, giving up coffee. I just so enjoy making coffee. I know we've shared that experience. I love making it with that AeroPress. And so,
inverted method.
It's great. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that. But with food, for me, food, it's like a snacking thing. So I'm not eating in between meals. And I will just snack all the time. Or after, I'll have the 9 p.m. bowl of cereal, whatever. Sure. And so, I mean, that's maybe a healthy thing anyway, but I'll be excited to pick up a sweet thing to have a snack in between. But I'll tell you, throughout my day, it is a constant reminder of what season we are in. Another is in the car. I'm not listening to music in the car. And so it just reminds me every time I get in and be able to fill that space with prayer. So there may be some new practices down the road that I pick up. But a lot of it is a reminder that there's a feast season coming, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I see. Well, y'all, for highlight, we are in the tension between the end of Lent and the beginning of this feast season. Mm-hmm. So we're in a week that the church, global church, calls Holy Week. What Holy Week is, it's the week leading up to Good Friday, the weekend, Easter, Maundy, what's it called? Something Saturday?
Maundy, no.
No, Maundy is Thursday. What's Saturday called?
I think it's just called Holy Saturday.
Holy Saturday.
And Trinity Kids will call it Sad Saturday.
Aww.
Because it's, I bet we'll get to it later in the week, but it's the day where the disciples would have been just devastated because Good Friday's happened, Jesus crucified, they don't know about the resurrection yet.
Yeah, they were in their feels for sure, as I would be too. But with that being said, this is the week where a lot of events start to take place in the Bible historically, leading up to Jesus being betrayed, arrested, persecuted, killed ultimately. And so we as a church during this week take time to engage in different practices like Stations of the Cross. Different events might be going on at your churches. At Trinity, we have a lot of churches. Not a lot of churches. We are the one church. But we as a church are engaging in different things throughout the week. Good Friday service. Things to honor and look for the ways that Jesus was leading up to the cross.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of action that happens this week scripturally. We'll get to that in a minute. But Lent is this long call invitation. Holy Week is a sort of a sprint of a call to spiritual practices to get us ready for Easter. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Good stuff, Haley. Appreciate it. And just let you all know, with Holy Week, it is a bit of a heavier week because so much happens in Jesus' death. So our questions will feel a little bit more hitting that emotional level with them. And so this will be foreshadowing our reading from today. So our question, Haley, what scene of betrayal from a book, TV show, movie do you find most gut-wrenching?
Well, if you know me, you know that I have two great flaws that I am personally aware of, probably many that I am not as aware of, but one is that I don't love animals, and the other is that I don't watch a ton of movies or see a ton of shows, but the show that I do
but there's one that you
faithfully watch is Survivor. And when you asked me this, I thought back to this poor guy named Eric, it's a long story, y'all, but basically in Survivor, there's always immunity challenges. And when you get past the merge, it becomes an individual game. So you, everybody, however many people are left, compete in this challenge. You can win.
I don't even know what the merge is, but I'm going to guess. You don't have to explain it.
From tribes to individual game. So all tribes come together, they merge to one.
All right, thanks. That's perfect.
Helpful. Okay. But so now they're all freestanding people playing for $1 million. Mm-hmm. And there's like all these girls left in the game and this one guy, Eric. And Eric won immunity and all the girls have been planning on voting Eric out. And so this girl convinced Eric, like, hey, we're really trying to vote this girl out. Can you... I don't even know. They were like, we're really worried that they're going to vote this girl out. She's like really core to our, pretending he was in the alliance, our alliance. Can you give her your necklace? And so she can have individual immunity and stay in the game. And we'll go to the end with you. And he was like, yeah. And they full on convinced him to give up his safety. And then they went and just voted him out.
Wow.
It's probably the worst thing that's ever happened in Survivor. I watch it.
Did you gasp?
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Eric. I mean.
And were you for that guy?
He was a little too soft to win. Okay. Like, if you can really be talked into that, you know, it's just like, I didn't have all my money in that basket for sure. But I felt sad because I think the softer side of me was like, aw,
man,
sweet little man.
What was his reaction on the show?
He was shocked. I mean, he was so sad and shocked, but he was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But like, it's just a name in the game. If you win the necklace, you don't give it away. So I don't know what he was up to. But anyways. What would you say is your biggest movie betrayal?
I was trying to think. Well, I wanted to be careful not to spoil anything for anybody, too. So
I might have just spoiled something.
Somebody out there watching season, I don't know what.
Probably Heidi Yoder. Shout out Heidi Yoder.
of Survivor.
Yeah.
This is not even one that you didn't see coming. Those are the ones that really get you like, oh, my gosh, I thought this whole time. But I'm just going to go Lion King. And because we think, spoiler, we're past, if you don't know how Lion King goes, that's on you at this point. But when Scar's whole betrayal in making Simba think, like Scar killing his own brother, and then making Simba think that he did it and looking him in the eyes, and like Simba's whole life, what he carries with him after that. I know we're going deep on the Lion King right here, but it all went to this betrayal of the brother saying, no, I want it. This is my preferred path of life, and I'm going to betray my own brother and blame my nephew for it.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot Lion King was that deep.
Oh, well, it's Hamlet. It's did you know that?
No. I also have this gift of forgetfulness. I'll watch a thing, and unless it really struck, I'm like, that was a good movie. I can't tell you what the plot was, and that's one of those movies for me.
Yeah. So that's it, and for those of you listening, if you're in the zone now of thinking about betrayal, we're going to move to our reading, which is one of the most famous betrayals of all time. And it happens right in the midst of Holy Week. And so as we touched on earlier, Holy Week is kind of a big deal in the church. And you see this in the Gospels because it takes up an outsized portion of the Gospels. So just to get some context here, John, the Gospel of John, has 21 chapters. Chapters 1 to 11 are about 3 years of Jesus' life, his ministry roughly. And then chapters 12 to 20 are 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Nine chapters. Yeah, so it covers almost 1 week, and that's nearly half of the entire Gospel of John is just this 1 week. So it's pretty clear we're invited to pay attention to this week, especially so, and to lock in on it.
And with that, you've heard how much scripture there is around this week. We sadly are not going to cover it all in three episodes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hit on some things that we think give you all a lot of context into what went down and what this week looked like for Jesus. But with that, there are so many in-between things that we're going to miss. And so if you feel compelled to know more of the story, to know more of how Jesus' friends responded, to know more of how Mary responded, all these people who are also pretty key in the gospel story, we really recommend going to go read the end of Matthew yourself.
Yeah.
Whenever you have time. So that being said, Lent, I just combined Lent and Holy Week. That's what just happened in my brain. Lent is a really heavy season that lasts kind of a long time. And Holy Week is where the fullness of Lent just kind of comes into fold and really hits. And so today's passage is going to be a really big example of that. Today and honestly tomorrow's are going to be filled with a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And so just prepare y'all for that so you know what you're walking into when you press play. It might not be
You're not lighthearted.
Yeah, no.
We're inviting you to lean into a bit of that more serious contemplative get in touch with these things.
For sure.
And so, as I said, our question today was not random at all. We're looking at the account of Judas Iscariot and his betrayal of Jesus. Haley, could you start the passage for us?
Sure. Yeah, y'all, this is from Matthew, where we've been all of Lent. It's verses, chapter 26, verses 14 through 25. I'll start in 14. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" Him being Jesus. They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
All right, Haley, I want to jump in for just a second. Let's slow these readings down as we go so we can look at these characters mm-hmm. and what they're up to. So we see Judas is betraying Jesus for money. And what's interesting, if you dig into the character of Judas, there's not a ton that we know about him. We don't know much about his background. We don't know if he was maybe part of a certain political or religious sect, like about his motivation.
Sure.
Of why do we do this? All we see is, yeah, there's money involved. Mm-hmm. But man, if you follow the disciples, especially I'm thinking again about the show The Chosen, these guys who have been mm-hmm. day and night with their rabbi, mm-hmm. It would take a lot for someone to betray to death this man that they have lived with mm-hmm. and gone through a ton and seen undeniably the miracles and the power of his words. So we don't know a lot about that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we do know, the context, is that Judas is betraying Jesus in the midst of Passover. And we're going to get to Passover a little bit later on in the week. But the next part of this passage, that for brevity's sake, we'll skip this part of the reading. The disciples leave from here right after the betrayal, and they set up a Passover meal. And so the disciples gather in the room, mm-hmm. and they're about to have this feast of remembrance of a time during the Exodus when the angel of death passed over the Hebrew people because there was the blood of the lamb on the doorway. And so there is so much symbolism that is being lived out in real time from the original Passover to the disciples. So that's where we now find them now, where you can pick up with the reading where the 12 are. The 12 disciples are in a room. It's often known as the upper room. And they've just had the Passover, a foot washing, and we'll see what happens next with Judas.
Also, wait, just a question that I have before we move on. Yeah. I've looked this up before. 30 pieces of silver. Is he getting paid like millions back then? I can't remember how much
that
was actually worth.
That's a great question. As you read,
I'm
going to look up. I should have come prepared. I believe it says shekels, yes?
Yeah, I think it just says silver, pieces of silver.
30 pieces of silver. I'm going to look that one up.
As I read.
Because I should have come prepared with that one. So many different, what's a shekel? A denarius.
Well, I feel like I've been told
don't
before.
Don't have that one in mind, yeah.
And I thought it wasn't a ton of money. Like, I was kind of surprised.
It's not millions.
And I could be wrong, but I'll keep reading and we'll get the answer after. Dave turned Siri. All right, y'all, we're picking up in verse 20. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Haley, thanks for reading.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I did do a little research.
Oh, wow.
About
okay.
the third. Okay, so there's some different thoughts out there. We're not quite sure what the cost per gram, what kind of shekels they were. So it'd be anywhere on the order from up to about 3 months' wages.
Okay.
So I don't know, like $20,000 or something.
Sure.
To like a couple hundred dollars.
Wow, what a
either
skill.
Way, so that's yeah. not quite sure in between, and I am not a biblical scholar on these things.
No,
so,
I mean, neither of us
but
are.
But I think we see enough to see it's not millions and millions of dollars.
Okay.
It's not something that's going to set you up for life.
Yeah, that's what I felt like I had heard.
Like 20,000 would not be insignificant, but to betray one of your closest friends to death for $20,000? Yeah, so there's a lot we don't know. There's a mystery into what led him to this.
yeah, well, and just for kids who are listening, 20,000 feels really like
probably
like
feels a lot,
so
right.
for y'all to know, $20,000 could maybe get you rent for like a year and a half in Atlanta.
Or you could buy a decent used car.
Maybe a new one if it was like my car when it was new, my bed right around there. So it's just like a small kind of sedan.
You could buy 10 or no, 20 iPhones.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. So just to give you all iPhones. Some like real graspable, you couldn't even buy a whole house with what he got. Not even a small.
Like a legit down payment.
Right.
So it's, man, I mean, it does make me think, and I feel like I've heard this said, the best we can think of is that Jesus just didn't deliver for Judas who he thought Jesus was going to be. Because there was the sense that the Jewish Messiah was going to be someone who would overthrow Rome.
Well, they thought that he'd bring vengeance.
That he was going to violently, militaristically become a warrior king, kind of in the mold of King David who conquered the land and kick out the Romans, kick out their oppressors. And that was the expectation. And he fulfilled so many of the signs of Messiah. But the end result of where they thought Messiah was going to go was just off. And Jesus wasn't that. And so the best I could think of is that Judas was looking ahead, kind of reading what was happening and saying, like, this guy is actually going to go through with this death thing. He's been foreshadowing his death for a long time. He's going to go through with it. That's going to come back on me. I want to save my own skin here. I see what's about to happen. Like, the authorities are after him, the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. And I thought he was going to rise up, and it's looking like he's not going to do that. And so I'm going to get out while I can. And that, to me, makes the most sense of why he would betray, is he is caught in between. And I have a lot of compassion for when you are so invested in thinking a story is going to go a certain way. And then, like, oh, it's not what I expected. Expectations are so powerful. And
Well, and it was not only just like emotional expectation. Religious expectation is very so embedded in someone's life. Like, they had invested a lot of their time, but like literally all of, like, people have spent a lot of their being studying scriptures and prophecy, and then they have a lot of expectation about what it's going to be. So it's not just like emotional. I think sometimes we hear that and we think like, oh, like, I expected to be BFFs this person forever or whatever, but it's like they spent, I think religious practice was just very devout back then and built into society in a way that it's not now. So to like highlight that, it was like a whole thing that everybody was looking
like,
to.
Yeah, and then your whole worldview, like, oh, what, down is up and up is down. I'm so confused.
Right.
And I'm scared and I'm going to protect myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm feeling. I don't know. Are you feeling any of that stuff too?
With this? Like with the scripture?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also think too, just to highlight for y'all, I think people wonder often, well, why would anybody want to kill Jesus? And I think we touched on that maybe a few episodes ago. And he really was causing a lot of tension for people religiously, but also, like, if you could imagine your friend group, right? Like, going back and literally probably debating, like, no, I think he is. No, I don't think he is. Like, people are kind of, like, not, like, probably interpersonally taking sides, like, feeling a lot of tension around this. So there was a lot more, I think, of, like, a ripple effect throughout the kingdom that was causing, like, we need to make, I think the government even was like, we need to figure something out about this. Jesus is causing a lot of, like, people to not trust the priest and, like, they're wanting to follow this guy. What's up with this guy? So there's just, like, a lot of tension coming into this Passover that I think we don't always talk about in the church, like, there's, or just, like, often talk about.
I'm glad you brought that up because the question of feelings, like, what might this make we feel, make us feel? Because I want to get this story out of our heads and into our guts a little bit.
Sure.
This week especially.
Yeah.
Because this is not something to just in our textbook get the right, like, doctrine about. I think we are really invited to sit with how this feels. And when you bring up the word, there's a lot of tension. I think this was a highly tense, emotional time for Jewish folks for sure, for Romans, for the disciples. They are all feeling a mix of anxieties and emotions and confusion. It is just swirling. It's in the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of those moments just for y'all to think about this Holy Week.
Well, and you will see it throughout the Bible, too. People doing things and then being like, what did I just do? Not, like, contributing to everything going on and then having a lot of swirling is what I would call it about it. So, anyways, we can break down this passage. Dave, how do you connect this account of Judas to Lent? Like, how do we view this in light of Lent?
Yeah. So if Lent is a wilderness journey, there's a really obvious one that, man, if you were betrayed by someone, that'd be pretty isolating to experience betrayal. Yeah. And to know that Jesus knows what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So in this Lenten journey, as we're leaning into the fact that Jesus did hard things, I'm called to follow him on this journey. That can sound nice as just a thing to say, but then when you look at the man's life and say he was betrayed by someone who he let into his inner circle of trust.
Yeah.
So if you guys can access right now what it feels like, if you've been betrayed by family, it hurts so much. If you've been betrayed by friends or a coach or a teacher or something, someone who you let in and you were vulnerable, you opened yourself up, mm-hmm. and then they turn around and totally dishonor all of that and break the relationship that you thought they had. As an awful, awful feeling.
Yeah. Well, and when I was reading this to prepare, I also thought about, like, I wonder if there's a piece of Jesus that kind of hoped he wouldn't do it. Because he knew, even at this dinner, and if I were myself, which I am, but if I was in even if somewhat of a similar shoe and I really, like, mm-hmm. knew someone was considering betraying me, I think I'd hold out hope that maybe they wouldn't.
Yes.
And so I can imagine Jesus knowing the better and being, oh, I know what's going to come. And just the gut drop of, like, this is it, you know?
Yeah.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't imagine, like, letting myself sink in and feel that, I think, is really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I bet Jesus was feeling all of that feeling, feeling the gut punch of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he continues on with what he feels called to. He doesn't run away. He sees the betrayal coming. He says it's going to happen. It happens, and he could have attempted to run away, and he didn't. He continued to walk the path of what he was called to.
Sure. We do see him struggle, though.
Like, oh, he definitely struggles.
And he's
struggles.
Like, if this cup can be taken away, like, if there's a back door, like, if there's anything I can
if
do that's not this, let a guy know. You know, like, I think he does ask God, like, God, like, is there any other way, really?
Mm-hmm.
And so while, yes, of course he follows through, there is this piece where we can look and, like, I don't know, it just makes me want to weep alongside Jesus, too, to mm-hmm. know, like, to watch him struggle and be like, please, like, could I really just not do this? Mm-hmm. And just thinking about the human side of that, like, looking at pain in the face and knowing you're going to have to go through it. And I think for us, it's not a cross. Like, I don't think for anybody listening to this, it's illegal. So hopefully it's not a cross. But with us, like, there's going to be times where it's like pain in the face.
Yes.
And that's, like, me and my Lenten journey. But
I mean, we do use the phrase where you may have to bear a cross.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's all throughout the Bible, too.
Not literal death, but, like, yeah, pick up your cross and carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is you may not have the opportunity to be proven that you were right. You may have to carry the pain and the injustice mm-hmm. for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so hard. And again, here, connection to Lent, we see that Jesus did it. He's calling us to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us to follow him to a path that he himself has taken. He's not just saying, well, that's a pretty good idea, you should do it. But he has done it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know that it'll always align in Lent. For us, like, this season, I think it will come. I think Lent is what prepares us for the other seasons of our life, where pain will come unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be like, God, please take it. And it might not go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so being people who can live through it is really important.
Yeah.
But anyways, Dave, that's good. Tough stuff, a little bit mixed in, right? But mm-hmm. can you leave us for our challenge for the day?
Sure. Yeah, I want to encourage everybody, get some reflective space today.
Mm-hmm.
Get some space where you can sit. Maybe what I like to do is get my feet on the floor, open my hands up, close my eyes. I set a timer for 2 minutes. I got this cool chime thing that goes off. That just helps me put boundaries on a thing and say, I am going to dedicate this time. So whatever that is.
That's great.
And in that time, do reflect on the fact that we're probably more like Judas than maybe we think. It's easy to point fingers at him now and say, like, how could you ever do that? I would never do that. but to reflect and think that there's been ways where we are in our faith, we all fall short. Scripture says we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fall mm-hmm. short, and the wages of sin is death. And that's not the end of the story. But I think this season, it is helpful to sit back and think, I fall short, and yet Jesus still invites me to draw near
mm-hmm.
and says, still come near to me,
mm-hmm.
Even though you fall short. Do not run away from me. Do not run away from me, even when you fall short. So that can be powerful, just to remind us of how loved we are. and to look a thing in the face. And then I'd say, man, we got amazing Stations of the Cross here at Trinity. Our friend of the pod, Willis Norman, has created some incredible art. It's here in our chapel. It's open all the time. We'd encourage you to come look at it and reflect on the journey that Jesus took during the season. So come on out. Would you add anything, Haley?
No, I mean, I'll echo Stations of the Cross. I think Willis is an incredible artist and one of my good friends. So if y'all can make it out, you should go see it. It's really moving.
We may have them online too. It's definitely not the same. It's meant to be experienced live, but they're awesome.
Nah, get your parents to drive you here. They need to see it too. All right, well, that's great, Dave. Thank you so much, y'all, Trinity, for listening today. It's all we have for you. We love you. And as always,
peace be with you.